beginning in Genesis, we read about music. All the way to Revelation, we read about music in the Bible. It is hugely important. It is something that God has given us, and we want to learn about it, and we want to know so that we can line up with its original intention, which is to display the glory of God. When I was a little girl, one time, I was playing the piano, and I wasn't a very good classical student. My mother put me in piano lessons with a lady, you know, down the street, who loved the classics, and I'm just a different kind of fish. But so I would kind of play the music that I was given, and then I'd just go off into something. It wasn't extravagant or anything. I would just start playing whatever my mind wanted to play, and arpeggios, and dipping in and dipping out and changing chords and all those things. And then I just went and started playing a little bit of a song that my church had been singing, a beautiful worship song. And as a young girl, I'm talking 10, 11, 12, 13. I can't exactly remember, but I knew I was very young. I played it over again, and then I just sensed that I don't know where I went, but as I was playing, I felt like God's presence came on me. And I cannot tell you what happened. Only thing I know is there was a clock on top of the piano. When I kind of opened my eyes back up, it was 10 minutes later. But for me, it felt like a second. I'm not a scientist. I don't understand about the different realms of time. 1,000 years is as a day, the Bible says. I don't really understand all of that. But I do know that in playing the music, surrendering my heart to Christ, that there was some place I could go. There was this place of dimension that God had given. And the reason is Christianity is the most amazing faith. God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. And in that, Jesus said, he said, I'm going to ask the Father, and he is going to send the Spirit, and he will be in you. You know, we are the only religion in the world that says that our God will come and live in you. Not just be on you or with you, but he will be in you. And we are in Christ, the scripture says. And I believe that that gives us an access, a way through the blood of Christ to truly enter into the Holy of Holies. Paul the Apostle says that when you pray, come in by the blood of the Lamb and present your needs. Come to the Holy of Holies. Come into the presence of God. And we have that opportunity as believers. And then as musicians, I believe we have a backstage pass. I think about David in the Bible, and the Bible says he began to play. And probably the same instrument that if his neighbor picked it up and played, it would just be a nice tune. But when David played, because he was a true worshiper of God, had the anointing, had the relationship with God, that actually in the room, the realm of the spirit would shift, and the demonic forces that were bothering the king at the time, Saul, would move. His music unleashed something. Not that he had the power, but that he had the ability to align himself with the will of God through the worship of God, through a soul that had been surrendered to God, and the actual atmosphere, the demonic spirits moved. Now, you have to believe that, just like we believe Jesus was born of a virgin and he died and rose on the third day. And I can tell you so many different scriptures in the Bible where when the minister, the musician, the minstrel, the vocal would be that anointed of the Holy Spirit, things would change. There's one more story, and then we're going to get into just some slides and some thoughts I brought for you today. But the story of the prophet, when he and all of Israel were standing before a huge army, and the king was upset, no one could hear the word of the Lord. They just didn't have the wisdom of God in that moment to know where to go. And the prophet, who is designed by God and called by God to hear the word of God for the people of God, the heavens were like brass. And he said, bring me a minstrel. A minstrel is an old-fashioned word for one who can play well upon the strings. He had the anointing of God to play. And the Bible says that when that minstrel began to play, that the prophet began to hear the word of the Lord. And he told King Jehoshaphat what they needed to do and how God was going to help them. So we are not just the buildup to the word. The musicians and the singers in the church, we're not a part two. I don't care as far as hierarchy. I can be part 87. David himself said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that the people that God has put his anointing on for music and ministry began to recognize what we're really called to do. That you're strumming, you're drumming, you're singing, you're leading, your worship is as unto the Lord. And God desires to use you as his conduit for bringing in the song of the Lord, bringing in the atmosphere that welcomes the Holy Spirit. And that people will be blessed and that God will be glorified. Because that prophet, he was disturbed in his heart because he was so just, you know, we're humans and sometimes you have conflicts. But it was an anointed song. It was moving on the strings by a minstrel that reset the moment. And then the minister, the prophet, could hear the word of the Lord and the people of God went forward. So that's my heart to share with you today, is about unleashing the power of music in ministry. Music is a divine gift. I truly believe it. I do not agree with the reductionist or the secularist or the naturalist that we have just made it up. I believe it's a gift of God that he created us to be able to do music or appreciate music or be healed by music or be moved by music. It's a gift from God to be a blessing to us and to give him glory. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, and serve the Lord with gladness. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I want to encourage each of you who are in music ministry, you're going to get frustrated. How many of you have ever been frustrated? You have to be honest, okay? This is a Christian conference. When you get frustrated, I want you to go back to Psalm 100. If you have to, put it on a poster. Put it on something in your life that says, serve the Lord with gladness. And if the Bible tells us that, God will give us a gladness. He'll give us a joy in the journey. Don't let just the work of making music get you down, but be encouraged and serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with what? Singing. Yeah. Music is the voice of the soul. It lifts our spirits to God and it allows us to express what words alone cannot. Music is a God-given vehicle for emotional expression and spiritual formation. Now, this is my own definition, but I have searched for so long to try to find a concise explanation. What is music? And this is the way I would say it. Music is a God-given vehicle. You know what a vehicle is? A vehicle is something that you get in here, and it has the capacity to get you here. That's what a vehicle is, okay? It has the power of movement, of transport. So music is a God-given vehicle for emotional expression. Think about all the Psalms. I mean, it's everything from I can't live another day to God is good, give him praise with instruments. Why are you downcast, O my soul? All of these expressions, which reflect our humanity, it gives them a way to be expressed. And this is something Colin spoke on a lot yesterday. It was very good. Spiritual formation. Colin says, and now that I'm telling you that Colin said it, I'm going to take it as my own from here on. Colin, tell us that thing about we believe what we sing or something. What was that comment? A church believes what it sings. It's part of the spiritual formation. Music has that power. Colossians 3:16, let me back it up with scripture. It instructs believers to teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Look at this. It didn't say through tons of Bible studies, even though I teach a Bible study. We need the Bible study. Or through just sitting around in groups and talking. But it actually, Paul is instructing the believers at Colossians to instruct believers, teach and admonish one another through psalms, hymns, And spiritual songs are songs of the Spirit. Music is part of the spiritual formation of ourselves and of the churches that we serve in. The biblical foundation of music in ministry is from Colossians 3:16. Again, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing. This is in a different version. One another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Music is a tool for worship. Psalm 150, 1 through 6, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Martin Luther described hymns as sermons in song. I love that. Three little words. Martin Luther said, hymns are sermons in song. Music is a vehicle for teaching. Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody. So the purpose of music is not just to entertain, but to elevate, to teach, and to transform. Music brings people closer to God. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. It unites the body of Christ, Romans 15:6, that you together with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we sing together, we echo and we express the unity of the church and the harmony of the Holy Spirit. Music heals and restores the soul. 1 Samuel 16:23 says, and whenever the Spirit of God came on Saul, the Spirit from God, David would take up the lyre or a harp. Have you seen what a lyre is? It's a harp that's smaller and it's kind of handheld. And he would play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. It's what we spoke about before. So music has the power to heal the wounds. And we cannot always even speak about how music can be healing, but it is a balm for the soul. Music's emotive power connects us to God by aligning our feelings with truth. C.S. Lewis said in his letters to Malcolm, he describes praise as inner health made audible, meaning that music externalizes the heart's communion with God. Nobody could say it better than C.S. Lewis. Oh, what a gift to the body of Christ. So now let's look at how music transforms our ministry practice. Well, we are to integrate music into every part of the ministry. Psalm 149:1, praise the Lord and sing unto the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Music can be used in evangelism. Isaiah 42:10, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea, and all that fill it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. So it talks about taking this new song to the Lord down to the sea, down to the coastline. And the sound of a song can travel many times where words cannot reach. Now, earlier we talked about the concept of unleashing, and I just want you to know that I am not the source of anything. I'm a reflector, I'm an instrument, I'm the servant of the Lord, but there is this ability for the Holy Spirit, which is what I want us to know. It's the Holy Spirit's role in empowering worship. We bring the song, the Lord brings the anointing, and the people are blessed. It is that wonderful combination. And that's what I mean when I say that unleashing. Jeremy Begbie notes in his book, Resounding Truth, and I would encourage you to read Jeremy Begbie. Put him on your list of things you need to read. He teaches at Duke and at Cambridge and is a masterful pianist, wonderful instructor. He's a voice to this generation on just new levels of comprehension about the importance of music and sound and the theology of music. So if you haven't read any of Jeremy Begbie, have a look at his work.
Is the name of the book, Resounding Truth?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeremy Begbie and Resounding Truth. And if you just go on your bookstore and look up Jeremy Begbie, all kinds of books will come up. He's very good. Now for me, I'm a light reader, so sometimes because he's a college professor, it's a little deep, but don't let it bother you. Just don't, because, you know, sometimes people can read. I'm a little bit dyslexic, so sometimes when I get a big, thick book, my brain hurts. But you know what I tell myself? I said, Angela, you need this. This man has got truth. And even though the way I'm wired doesn't immediately understand, I go back and I go back and I use the tool of repetition for learning. People ask me, how can you play without seeing music? Honestly, a lot of it is memory. It's muscle memory. I have made myself play and play and play and play and play and play and play until I can play a song in the dark. Just use these little tools, these things, because I don't want you to say, this is not for me. God has amazing resources. The church is rising up in this generation like I've never seen it. About there's like advanced knowledge, there's everyday knowledge. It's just so marvelous between YouTube and books and events. Keep growing as a musician because you have so much to give. And the Lord has need of you. You are here by divine appointment. I hope you know that. You know, the Bible says in the book of Acts that God decides where we will be born. It is the Lord who has placed us. And he has given you a measure of work to do, a part of the field. And he's going to meet you there and he's going to help you and bless you and anoint you and call you. But we have to till the soil and do the work. But God will bless the work. And so I hope you know that you're very special, very, very special. Billy Graham said, I need a singer. I can't do what I'm going to do unless God gives me the right musician. And the Lord sent him the right musician. D.L. Moody said the same thing. D.L. Moody said, I need somebody who's going to travel with me and help me. And a man named Ira Sankey, who had been sitting in the D.L. Moody services, he took one of D.L. Moody's messages and made a song out of it. And then D.L. Moody heard it, and he said, you're my man. I have been looking for Ira Sankey. And when they put the power of the word and the power of the song together between Billy Graham and his team and Ira Sankey and D.L. Moody, just great things have happened. So with the preaching of the word, there is this element of the place of music. Even when I've gone to some Jewish services at a synagogue, being there with friends through the years, there's always the rabbi, the one who teaches the scripture, and the cantor, the one who sings the songs and leads God's people. So it's this combination of word and song. And Jeremy says in Resounding Truth that worship is a spirit-enabled act. Remember, Jesus said we're to worship in spirit and truth. So it is a spirit-enabled act that participates in God's redemptive work, releasing his power to heal, convict, and restore. So cultivating a worshipful atmosphere, 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14. And when it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison, in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, and the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priest could not even stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. That's my goal. Now, is it going to happen every week? No, because it's God and his sovereignty. But I arrive at every service, every television show I do, with a heart of expectation. Lord, I'm coming here to bring my sacrifice of praise. Meet me with your anointing. Do what I cannot do, Holy Spirit. I will sing and play and present myself to you. But Holy Spirit, come and minister to the people and bring your glory and make yourself known. That's every single time I get up. It's not that eloquent of a prayer. Sometimes it's very short, like Jesus help. But always come to that place knowing that your God has called you and he will bless the work of your hands and the sound of your voice. So we also encourage our congregations to participate. Worship the Lord in the splendor and the holiness, Psalm 96:9 says, and tremble before him all the earth. You know, we in Scotland, I'm from America, but I live in Scotland, and it's quite an interesting thing because a lot of the new worship leaders and churches are much younger. So they know the younger stuff. And then, but when you look across the congregation, there's older people and there's a multi-generation in a congregation, which is my favorite. I don't want to go to a children's church and I don't want to go to the waiting room of heaven, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, she's got 2 to 4 weeks, but y'all just hang on. I love a multi-generational church. I want to look out there and see everything. Sorry, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? No, because I've done so much work in prisons and like nursing homes and stuff, and I can tell you when I show up at nursing home, all their requests are about heaven. I'm like, baby, I'll sing you right in there. So, whatever you need. But I do encourage worship leaders to be aware that if you look out to the crowd and you see some gray hair and some young people that actually have hair, okay, don't just do everything new. A congregation participation is what we're looking for. And I have attended some churches, and I look at, and my husband is from the Highlands in Scotland. I mean, he grew up in a denomination where there were no instruments. Okay, good Presbyterian from the Highlands. We don't need it. Just sing the Bible. Just sing Psalms. And then I grew up in the South in the U.S. I know you couldn't tell that I grew up in the South. And I grew up in a Pentecostal church that we made anything an instrument. You know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Everybody played everything. So when Kenneth and I met, it was like... I don't know, water and fire. But the bigger thing for me is, as a musician, Kenneth loves to sing and he's a singer, but he's not a musician, is for me to have a deeper sensitivity about when I look out, is Kenneth singing any of these new songs? He hasn't had a chance to learn them. So in all of my work, I'll swing back and either do a psalm, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. All of a sudden, the old folks, they're just singing. Or then I'll do a hymn. And I try to make sure that each time I lead, I've got psalms, praise songs, hymns. Do I have a song in my list that is like a sermon and a song? It talks about the distinctiveness of God, the distinctiveness of Christianity. Does it mention the cross? Does it mention the blood? Does it mention the resurrection? These are the distinctives of our faith, which should be included. And then spiritual songs, an easy song, a song of the Lord, something that people, everybody can sing. Because we want congregational participation. And remember, we're their servants. We're God's servants, and we're there to serve them. So I weave those in. And let me tell you, though, it's a different vibe. It's such a different vibe. But that's where you just use your creativity and what I call the power of transitions. So if I'm doing a real new song, but I'm looking out there, I'll just kind of use a little bit of a musical transition. And then if I need to, I'll just go like to one verse of holy, holy, holy. Of course, you can tell I'm playing in key of G because that was the F sharp. Lord God Almighty. And all of a sudden I see that next generation, they're now entering in versus just observing. And then I'll swing right back and then I'll go into a different rhythm and try to pick up as many people as I can. And that's my way of doing it. But it's maybe because I've seen my husband just go through the three songs, not know them. They've got a rock beat. He doesn't find an easy way to participate. So that's just something for you. If you have a much younger church, they may not even like the hymns. But I would encourage you to not just feed them, you know, fried chicken. They need a little fried chicken. We all need a little fried chicken, but they also need steak and they need mashed potatoes and, you know, a buffet. You'll have one particular identity in every congregation. I have found that. And then you also need to work with what your pastor is. Pastors will have something that moves them particularly. But observe the congregation and just see what you can do for them. And if in Christ alone, that's your hymn. And the thing is, if you look at In Christ Alone, it's each verse covers a different theological precept. You know, from In Christ Alone, my hope is found. So that's for everyday living. He is my source, my strength, my song. And then the fourth verse is no fear in, what is it? No fear in death. No, what's the first? No guilt in life. Now I'm going to tell you right there, I love that one. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. See, that's a precept it's telling us. This is where we're singing almost, the song is singing to us and spiritually forming us from life to death, from cry, Jesus commands my destiny. That's the power of a hymn. So then you do the praise songs, which gives God praise because he's worthy, and then the songs of the Spirit. Okay, we want to shift now to a concept that I think will help your groups and help you as a leader or a participator, and that is creating a group of shared values within your team. Because when I'm working with folks, and you know, we have a year-round mentoring now for praise and worship and for music, and anyone from ELF is welcome to join it. Colin and I are leading it, and we'll have 3 online sessions and then a time in Budapest and then a time at the next ELF. But we really have a heart to help you. If you feel like that would be something, you could talk to us later, but we want to welcome everybody to join in with us. For me, I think it's very important to have a set of values. And values are shared beliefs that shape the group's identity. Shared beliefs that shape the group's identity. Because if you've ever met a group of individuals, it's musicians. So how do we take this group of different personalities, different backgrounds, and we create a cohesive sound? That's what we're looking for, right? I think something is describing a set of values. I'm going to go really quickly because it's a long list. And you can just kind of pop in what really speaks to you, but maybe create a list of values for your group and then just briefly begin to discuss them, because it's going to, honestly, I think if there are shared values that are understood, it's going to lift the heavy of a leader having to constantly work with people, because we're going to go back to our list of values, starting with humility. We as a team, we agree on the importance of the value of humility. We lead with a servant's heart. We prioritize God's glory above personal recognition. And there's a scripture for that. Number 2, spiritual discernment. We seek God's guidance to ensure our worship aligns with his truth and spirit. And that's when you go back and you reflect on the lyrics. Some lyrics they sound good, but they're just off a little bit theologically. Watch that. Okay, because remember, our songs are spiritually formulating people's belief system. Number 3, authenticity. We worship genuinely, reflecting a true and personal relationship with God. Because the Bible says God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Number 4, servant leadership. We serve the congregation by facilitating the worship, not performing for applause. Number 5, we believe in unity. We work as a cohesive team, valuing each member's contribution and resolving conflicts biblically. Number 6, excellence. We strive for musical and technical skill to honor God without chasing perfectionism. And I've heard 3 or 4 times already with some worship leaders, one from Albania, one from Romania, one from Bulgaria, and they all said, our big issue is dealing with volunteers who just don't want to practice and improve themselves. And that's really where I said, you know, I'm going to add in some values, because if you just discuss these values quickly and say, let's just discuss who we are as a team, this is a great place to bring in the concept of excellence, which just calls for a lifelong learning. I am a lifelong learner. And I know some folks, they're married and they have children, they, you know, do 2 jobs, but they still want to participate in the church. It's not trying to push them. It's more of enlarging their vision that they can become a better musician. And, you know, good musicians attract other good musicians. And then as folks come in, you just work with them. But if they have an understanding that we are moving towards excellence because we can do better, then it's setting that unspokenness about us, that we welcome you. We're so delighted to have you, and we're really happy that you can play 1 chord. But as a group, we always strive for excellence. I don't know, is that making sense? Because it's interesting when you're working with volunteers. You know, we could do like a whole therapy session for us. Okay. Number whatever next. Okay, prayerfulness. We root all of our preparation and performance in prayer, seeking God's presence and power. Don't forget about prayer. Pray with your team. Pray for your team, especially if you're the leader. Once a week, call their names before the Lord. Pray for their families. Pray for their careers. Pray for their finances. You know, we're all musicians. You know, we're all starving. So pray for them. Really step up and be an example of prayerfulness. Also, openness. We embrace transparency and welcome different perspectives, yet we remain receptive to God's leading and team input. Integrity. We live lives consistent with the gospel, both on and off the platform. Commitment to growth. We pursue ongoing spiritual, musical, and personal growth, remaining teachable and open to feedback. This is a really good one. Forgiveness. We extend grace and forgiveness to one another, reflecting Christ's love and maintaining team harmony. Let me tell you, I got this actually from my husband's company. They did a set of values, and when you walk into their lobby, at the lobby of our company, they take and all the values are in, like, you know, different fonts and different styles, but they're all there on the wall as you walk in. And one of the ones that are big is forgiveness, because there will be conflicts. And if forgiveness is not an accepted value among the team, it does give no place for a new start or a clearing of the slate. And I think forgiveness is a great value. And we are to forgive because we have been forgiven. So it's a good value to put in anything that you do with a team. Kindness. We treat each other and the congregation with compassion, patience, and respect. And they ask for in Christ alone every week. Okay. Is this helpful? Are you breathing? Do you speak English? Praise the Lord. What'd you say? No. What'd you say? No, I do. Listen, I have been in England, and now I can talk like all of the posh people that I have met who are going for a cuppa. When I first came to England, when I first came to Scotland, my neighbor said, come over for a cuppa. A cuppa what? I have learned so many new words. But trust me, the Scots don't talk like the English. So before I start a world war, I'm going to continue into courage. We step boldly into our call, trusting God to lead us through challenges and uncertainties. Technology. A value of ours is that we embrace technology. We responsibly embrace and adapt to technology, using it to enhance worship and reach the congregation effectively. We work with our pastor. We collaborate closely with our pastor, aligning worship and the church's vision and the pastoral leadership. Joy. We cultivate and express a heart of joy in our worship and service, radiating Christ's hope and delight. Faithfulness. We remain steadfast in our commitment to God, the team, and our calling, even in difficult seasons. Sensitivity. We are attentive to the Holy Spirit and to the needs of our congregation. Respect. We honor each team member, the congregation, and church leadership with dignity and mutual esteem. Creativity. We use our God-given creativity to craft worship experiences that glorify God and engage the church. Exodus 35:31 says God had filled him with the Spirit, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. Do you ever ask God to increase your skills? Ask him. Pray. Pray about everything. He's our maker. Lord, whatever portion you have given me, could you add 10% more? Could you add a little bit more? And I'll put in the work. I'll expose myself and do some extra practice. But Lord, increase me. I want to give you my very, very best. Another set of good values, continuing on, valuing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we've mentioned this scripture, Colossians 3:16. We understand the importance that it is a sacred presence. We cultivate an awareness that every rehearsal and service is a sacred encounter with God. We understand the importance of the theology of worship. We deepen our biblical understanding of worship to ensure authenticity and doctrinal soundness. Cultural sensitivity, we respect and incorporate diverse cultural expressions which foster inclusivity. And some of you have shared with me that you've got, is that lady, she's not in this session. One lady shared that they live in Poland, but they have German and two, three, you know, and the Russians are wanting more Russian music and the Ukrainians are wanting more. It's a lot. So I know that I'm just offering ideas for you and you have to implement. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. So right here, just extend your hand towards her. Lord, help her, because she's got four nations. Do they all want to sing in Christ alone? No. Okay. And then spirit-led worship. We develop the ability to discern and follow the Holy Spirit's leading in song choices, transitions, and worship moments. Why? What is our goal? It's Acts chapter 2. When they were all in one accord, the Spirit fell. So now let's look at the internal impact of music in ministry. Remember I said in the beginning, starting in Genesis, it mentions about music and musical instruments and all the way to Revelation. We see here that there will be music in heaven. Isn't that great? It's a reflection of God's glory. Revelation chapter 5 says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed the people of God. So in worship, music is not just an art form. It is a divine encounter where we join in the song of eternity and touch the heart of God. So I encourage you to embrace the power of music in ministry. So embrace music not only as a form of personal expression, but as a powerful tool for advancing God's kingdom. J.S. Bach, one of my heroes, said this, the aim and final end of all music should be none other than for the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. So it's like a coin. It has two sides. Our music is to bring glory to God and to bless the people. And if that's your goal, then I truly believe that your music ministry is just going to continue and God's going to continue to bless you and anoint you and just glorify God and then be a part of that balm of Gilead for people. They come in, they've been busy. Some of them have, you know, kind of not had a chance to come close to the Lord all week. And when they come into the services and you play and you sing, the Lord is letting us participate in his healing of the nations, in his blessing of the people. We're part of that vehicle that helps to transport them. If they want to come with us, if they're not, they can just sit and watch, or they can stand and watch. And some are unbelievers and they're not sure, and they're just observing. And all of that is good, and all of that's going on in the congregation. But we are like soldiers. We step up, we get in our place, we bring our very best, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and we glorify God and be a blessing to the people.